Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8:04 a.m. here on a Tuesday morning here in the city of Atlanta. It is gloomy today. Yesterday, it cleared up right about this time, and it is gloomy today nonetheless. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll do the wake-up call here in just 1 second, 404-726-0929. Curious to hear anybody's thoughts on what you want as a head coach here for the Atlanta Falcons, and also back into this conversation for just 1 second, the Trae Young news that he could possibly be out. Will the Hawks regret trading Trae Young to the Washington Wizards at any point? And I don't know. I think that I feel very strongly that they won't regret it on the Hawks' end at this point. Like, I think they've explored all options. But I do wonder if we were, as Atlanta Hawks fans, to go see Trae Young have success and make deep runs into the playoffs for another franchise, like how that would sit with Hawks fans. Like, I feel like you'd be like, why couldn't we do that?
I'd be salty. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'd definitely be salty.
Be a little bit petty about it.
But again, I feel like we've exhausted all resources. We went through what? A few head coaches.
I'm comfortable with it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gone through head coaches. We've gone through Trae's second or third GM at this point.
Yeah.
We've put team – he has the best team around him he's had all season. And granted, he's been injured, but there was a seven-game stretch where Trae Young came back and they lost seven games in a row. And granted, they were playing tough teams, but still. I mean, all resources have been exhausted, and I think you've done everything you can to put Trae Young in position to be successful to this point in time. So – I would be salty, but again, I'd be like, all right, he just needed a fresh start somewhere. He just needed some new faces around him. He just needed new leadership, I guess, new head coach, new voice. I don't know, but I would be salty.
And I'll give credit.
Because we didn't give him a new head coach here. We didn't give him new leadership here.
I know.
We didn't give him new players here.
That's literally what he just said.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. It's like we give him all that.
Yeah,
and nothing. It's just so, you know.
That's why I'd be salty.
They can take the other guy with him, too. You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I'm sure I'll get a tweet about it.
It's like one of those relationships, though, where you just try, you try, you try.
And that's why, like I said, I'm comfortable with it. We've given him every opportunity. We've exhausted all possibilities. And you know, it just is what it is at this point. And I will say in everybody's, not defense, but, you know, good for everybody in this aspect, I have heard through multiple people that it's very amicable. Like, nobody's upset about it.
Right.
His representation, the Hawks' representation, everybody else is like, you know what, this is just probably time to make this happen.
Because of what Dylan just said, I think that's it. Because the organization has done – Trae and the organization have worked together for years to try to figure out what the secret to success here. They've given him – he wanted DeJounte Murray here. They got him. You know, then they did this. John Collins and him had some kind of riff. They got rid of John Collins. And so I think there's some gratitude with how Trae feels like he's been treated by the organization. And I think the organization, you know, I know that he was a little bit I don't know, upset maybe is not the right terminology, but maybe just
disappointed.
Yeah. They didn't negotiate, and he was – and it was probably like, well, what's the deal? And it's like, well, the deal is we're going to figure out this year what we got, and we're going to have a tough, you know, we're going to come to Jesus meeting. And I think maybe that's where they're at, and that's why it's amicable. Because, you know, it's not like Trae hasn't asked for stuff and the organization said no, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it can be that way. Not everything, not all divorces end, you know, really bad. And everything's that breakup movie with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn where it just gets really ugly.
Well, they saw each other a lot later, yeah, and they were really happy. Is that what you're alluding to? Yeah, they were really good out on the streets of Chicago when they bumped into
one. Yeah, once they were not, once they went through all the misery that they put each other through.
Sometimes it's best just not to be under the same roof. You know what I mean?
He'll still get a tribute video. But I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, I guess, honestly.
Thinking about that.
We'll get one.
It's way too soon. Too soon.
As long as he doesn't cry when he comes back every time, like some people when revisit the city.
Too soon. We'll also take wake up calls in 1 second about the Falcons head coaching opening. We talked about it earlier. Allie picked up on my resentment at the thought that we would get a defensive coordinator as our head coach. It's just not a route I want to go. I think for long standing success, you have to have an offensive mind in place at the top of this thing. But Nonetheless, man, there's a lot of options out there, and hopefully the Falcons will exhaust all of those. Dylan, let's get to the wake-up call.
404-726-0929 if you want to call and wake in on any of the topics of the day here on the morning shift.
Let's go straight out to the phone lines. Let's talk to Ice. Ice is over in Noonan. Ice, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Been a long time.
Yeah, living the dream, man. How about you?
I'm good. So, here's the thing. Two things. Trey Young's a cancer, so it is what it is at this point. He should have let us know in the summer. We'd be better off.
Well, damn.
The record is better.
Wow. Rip the Band-Aid off, Ice. Attaboy.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, the record is better when he ain't playing.
Yeah.
So, you know. So, but as it pertains to the Falcons, hey, you know, I like Kubiak. He's young enough to understand the culture of the city. And here's why I like him. He's a structured first leader that adapts to the system of the players, not the other way around. Why this is unique? He comes from the Shanahan tree, and last time Shanahan was here, you understand where we went. He's a heavy play action, simplified reads, defined quarterback for progression. He's a run game identity creator that protects the quarterback, not exposes him. Head coach translation, what separates him ain't play calling flair, it's organizational clarity. Players know why they're doing what they're doing. Coaches are in line from the install. And I just like him, period, because he coaches clarity, not creativity.
There you go.
Most coaches sell scheme. Kubiak, he sells understanding.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. Honestly, that's what we need. And somebody who ain't scared to cuss the lazy ones out and tell them either play or get out the field.
Appreciate the phone call, guys. Thanks so much. Yeah, all those things sound great. I don't know how much I know about Clint Kubiak from those aspects. Like, that was a lot of deduction going on.
I don't know about all of that.
I haven't seen him cuss out any players, but I think if you look at Kyle Shanahan, if we're basically saying he's a Kyle Shanahan Jr., then yeah, I'm down with that.
Well, it's fun. You know, I always kind of get funny with that because fans want coaches to go at players and I'm not saying Ice is guilty of this.
Sure.
I'm just saying that fans as a general want, I want a player that, you know, a coach to get in a player's face and tell him he's doing this and that. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We hold Ray McCloud accountable, and the fan base is like, just like turned him into this folk hero.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray McCloud does whatever he does, he's turned into a folk hero. He told the truth. That's why he's gone. He said
the
truth really?
Yesterday about maybe, table's turning.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Somebody tweeted it perfectly in his replies. Because right, they go, man, Ray, for someone that says they turned it over to God, you still are talking about it a lot.
All right, let's try to get through these quickly. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Swami Dave. He's over in Cumming. Swami Dave, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
listen,
man.
Happy Tuesday to you.
I
want, not really a wake-up call. I just want to share some advice to the friend whom I've never met, Matt Ryan. there's times in your life when making a decision to do one thing is a decision not to do something else. And just looking at the Falcons situation right now, I do think this is one of those times. Because can he do it? Yes. He's already got multiple administrative assistants, and in the two different roles, he'd have different assistants doing different things. Everybody can use agent AI to do certain things for him or get virtual assistants. However, you've got a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in a number of years. They've just got rid of their general manager and their coach doing a clean house. You know what? Right now, part of the deal is appearance.
Yeah.
And if things go south and we do a split role type situation, mm-hmm. here's just something else. And Ray McCloud's a good example, right? Everybody wants the coach that yells at the players until it goes south. And then all of a sudden, the one player that doesn't like it is the folk hero.
Yep.
As long as it works, it'll work. But if it goes south, that's just another thing people to complain about.
I completely agree.
And you guys have a great day today.
Thanks so much for the phone call. He's spot on. If you win, nobody will ask questions.
Nope, no problem.
But the odds are, when you start getting a loss or two or three, it's not going to be a good situation.
He should be at the game.
Yeah, got to be there. Need a hands-on situation,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. All right, let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Let's go talk to Dan in Decatur. Dan, what's going on, buddy? Welcome back to the show.
Me.
Wait.
What a show, family.
My guy.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
For me, I don't see very many great candidates, I would say, on the market, because I think with what just happened with the cleaning of the house, We need somebody who's going to come in here and make a difference. Now, me being a guy from Seattle, I don't want to lose Clint Kubiak. I love what he's doing with Seattle's offense. But as far as Atlanta, I really think he would be a good fit for what Atlanta needs offensively. If, and Bo made a great point earlier, if you do get a defensive-minded coach, you have to hire a veteran on the offensive side, somebody who can get everything going, whether just once we figure out who our quarterback is going to be, somebody who can just do and get the job done. Yeah. Also, somebody called Trey Young and ask him, does he need help packing? Because I got some extra time on my hands, man. Let's make it happen. Y'all have a great day, man. Y'all take care.
Appreciate the phone call, Dan. Thank you.
Y'all doing Trey wrong.
Man.
I mean, I know I was harsh, but
I was gonna say, but, I think they picked up on the temperature of the room, huh?
No, I have no, I'm not a Trae Young hater. I've been critical at times because I think it's
hadn't worked.
I'm not sure why he's void of criticism when other athletes haven't, but I mean, I never said I would pack for him.
Yeah,
I think he makes enough money he can probably afford someone to do that for him.
Let's go try to fit one more in. Let's go talk to Tinker. He's over in Kennesaw. Tinker, what's going on, man? Hope you're doing well. Attaboy.
Yeah, my old lady's a habitual curb runner, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since the first day I've met her, I've changed more tires than a man should in one lifetime. But about a week ago, sure enough, I had to swap one out. And my buddy invested in one of those heavy-duty battery-operated torque drills.
Okay.
I'm telling you, do it, get it. It took longer to chalk the tire than it did to get the lug nuts off. I mean, we were in and out, done.
But attaboy.
How we going?
Yeah, thanks, Tink. This is sound like an old NASCAR pit road.
I got AAA for Amy and me, obviously, too. But I had to have AAA change my tire because my old truck was on 22s. And the jack that came in it, the factory one, won't get it high enough off the ground.
I think it's been long enough now I can probably tell this story, but... listening to our predecessors on this show one time, and John couldn't make it in because he had a flat tire, and Hugh was trash talking him.
Well, John refused to change the tire.
He wouldn't change the tire.
Yeah.
He was just out on 75 somewhere and couldn't change the tire, and he was like, "You gonna let a tire keep you away from work, bro?"
Yeah. I mean,
it would be me, but I feel, but that's
it's
but,
a whole different conversation.
That's a different conversation.
The reality is, if you have a son and you're teaching them how to drive, they should learn how to change a tire.
100%.
I mean, that should be part
100%.
Of it. 100%. That should be part of it.
Well, even this millennial knows how to change a tire.
Yeah, come on.
There is something about a guy changing a tire. Like, I was going to call AAA one time, and Grant was like, I got it. It's like, all right. Sean C. did tweet us and say, Mike, the wheel lock key is from a third-party company. You have to get a key from them. The dealer doesn't stock
That's
them.
That's what I was... eventually point in that direction. The dealership did not help me point in that direction, but yes, I eventually found said code inside the glove box.
Okay.
Didn't have to do it, but I found it.
Coming up, we do have national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, joining us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Obviously, a ton of conversation going on about the head coaching opening here for the Atlanta Falcons, all the kind of decisions left to be made over the next few days and coming weeks. And for that conversation, we're going to bring in national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Mike, I think the best way to start this conversation is to ask you if you were shocked by any of the firings, any of the openings that have, you know, any of the decisions been made. Did any of those surprise you going back over the last few days?
Atlanta's.
Wow.
I really thought that maybe they'd fire the GM, but that Raheem would get more time. Given the way that the team didn't quit and they won four straight games to finish the season, and you know, you finish in a tie for the division and knock Tampa out of the playoffs by the way that you finished. And I felt like when you look at the way the roster has been constructed, that there were some limitations that he was working with, kind of some head-scratching decisions, the way they kind of doubled down on some positions and then neglected other ones. So I thought he would get more time. The fact that he didn't, that was the most surprising. The other firings, John and Gannon, Kevin Stefanski, none of those, Pete Carroll, none of those really surprised me. But Raheem getting fired definitely was.
You think that even though that there were issues that kind of on the field that kind of kept rearing their ugly head, like multiple kick blocks, multiple return, the special teams was a disaster, and Raheem basically said he refused to make a change. Now, I was kind of neutral on the Raheem thing either way, but even some of the deficiencies you mentioned with the roster, there were on the field decisions that cost this team multiple games, which was the difference in the playoffs.
True. And yes, I mean, I know there was, you know, a number of issues with the special teams. I don't know that making an in-season special teams coordinator change was really going to do anything. I did expect that it was going to be one of those things that we see this last time where there's a coach that's on thin ice and they say they go into the off season, the owner, you know, team president sits them down and says, hey, you're going to stick around, but you will have to make changes to you. Like, you have to make changes to your staff. And then I thought, you know, okay, we'd see what changes would be made. And then basically he would have gotten one more year to prove whether or not he could got it done. But like you said, there were some on-field head, you know, scratchers that proved costly. And so I guess because of that, it wasn't even Arthur Blank, the search firm and their findings and recommendations were that, hey, you go ahead, clean house, start fresh, and go from there.
Yeah, if you were a head coach candidate at this point, Mike, which NFL team would you be looking at right now? Which vacancy do you think is the most appealing?
Let's see. So we've got Tennessee. They've got the former number one overall pick, you know, and I think they have a decent amount of cap space. Cleveland's got a good defense, but kind of some questions on their offense, things like that. The Raiders are, you know, they got a lot of stuff that they need to fix. The Cardinals, they've got question marks. Okay, is Kyler Murray done? I guess you could look at the Falcons and say, okay, they do have some young pieces. They've got their quarterback. I don't know. Them or the Titans, probably because of the quarterback situations that you're not starting from scratch. Now, again, we have to see how Penix does recovering from injury, but at least you know you've got a veteran, Kirk Cousins, who can hold things over for a while, and you've got a really dynamic player in Bijan Robinson. You need some more talent on offense, but you got something to work with. So one of the two of those teams, I think, either Atlanta or Tennessee, would probably be the more appealing of those jobs.
Mike, I want to ask you as well. I mean, maybe you do or don't have your finger on the pulse of this, but it seems like 2 years ago when we were going through this, and I believe there were 8 head coaching openings just a couple years ago when we hired Raheem Morris, but it felt like all the coaches kind of started fitting into different categories. Like, it was like Jim Harbaugh, you'd love to have him. He's kind of the bell of the ball, but he's probably not going to come here. And then you start going right down from there. Is there any assistant coach or any coach out there in this cycle that you think, okay, he is the clear front runner for a lot of these jobs, and he'll have, you know, his ability to make his own decision on where he's going to land?
There's not the hot coaches like that. Well, the last cycle, Vrabel was the rock star. You know, and like you said, the year before that, it was Harbaugh, and Bill Belichick, you know, generated interest from Atlanta, but not from a lot of other teams. There's not as hot a name. There are some intriguing names. I think Kevin Stefanski, even though things didn't work out in Cleveland, he never could really get that offense right, never could get the offensive coordinator, you know, position to find the right guy to help him run his offense. But he is a 2-time coach of the year, so I think he will probably interview for almost all of these jobs because there'll be interest. Cliff Kingsbury in Washington, you know, they had injuries to Jaden Daniels this year, but he is regarded as a guy that is a bright mind. Brian Flores, defense coordinator up in Minnesota, is definitely going to, you would think, get some, you know, some interest. Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator in Seattle. I know he was only there 1 year, but he has done an amazing job with Sam Darnold and that offense and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So there's some names out there. They're intriguing, but I just don't know if there's like a slam dunk rock star coach out there like we've seen, what, you know, like I said, Vrabel, and then with Harbaugh.
Mike, what do you know about Ian Cunningham? He's obviously been with the Eagles for a little bit. Now he's with Chicago as their assistant GM, and he's a hot name. He's been reported that the Falcons have asked to interview with him. Tell us and our audience a little bit about what you know about Ian Cunningham.
Yeah, he's a guy that has been on the radar for a while now for a number of teams. You know, he has been one of those guys on that developmental track that they had with the accelerator, where they, you know, give them resources and connections and help guys develop leadership skills and things like that. And like I said, he was a key figure in the front office in Philadelphia. Now he's been in Chicago. And as you can see, Chicago has really done a good job of putting talent around Caleb Williams, and we saw them really take a big leap forward with Ben Johnson. So Cunningham's name has been out there as a guy that that people say, okay, it's only a matter of time. So, you know, this offseason, it's not surprising that Atlanta would be interested in him.
We are talking with national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, on the morning shift. Mike, do you believe all the firings are done at this point, or do you see a few more on the way?
I am curious what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to be all-out firings, but I'm looking at Todd Bowles in Tampa. I'm looking at John Harbaugh in Baltimore, and curious what we're going to see with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh is once again one and done in the playoffs, is it a situation where we hear that he resigns or they have mutually agreed to part ways? And they, you know, after 18 years of not being able to get back, you know, that we see them decide to move on for him and he moves on, wants a fresh start. That's possible. If they win a game in the playoffs, then I think that, you know, he's still there. John Harbaugh is a guy that, again, like, really well-respected, well-regarded guy and coach in this league, a leader, but they have not been able to get over that hump. You know, it's been a while since, you know, they have been able to get back to the Super Bowl since they won it with Joe Flacco. And, you know, I think that the Biscottis are loyal, and I think that he's going to be okay, but he's been there a long time. You don't know if they sit down and assess and he decides he wants to change the scenery. So we'll see. Todd Bowles, they finished the season off on a terrible slide that second half of the season. I think they were 1-8 or 1-7, and then they won the last game. But then, you know, the Falcons kept them from making it to the playoffs. But I had heard that there's, you know, some talk that he was possibly considering retiring, even though he had just signed an extension. But so far, no moves have been made. So it might be something where they take some time and reassess this thing. But I'm looking at those three guys. It'll be interesting. There's always some surprising, whoa, came out of nowhere firing. And so far, we haven't seen one really yet. I mean, yes, Raheem's a little bit, but there, I feel like there could be one other one that maybe we're not seeing yet.
Hey, Mike, real quick before we let you go, you know, Matt Ryan's rumored to be in line for the president of football operations job. How do you feel about that? Former players never having any experience in the front office type role and just jumping in. I mean, we've seen it work a little bit. You know, John Lynch is the one that comes to mind. I know John Elway is a guy, but John Lynch is the most recent. He was in the booth. The next thing you know, out of nowhere, he's running the 49ers, and it's worked out there.
Yes, it has worked out there. I'm not a huge fan of it just because, well, I guess, if it's going to work, and John Lynch did do this, he surrounded himself by veteran guys like Martin Mayhew, who'd been an executive for a long time. That front office had a lot of really talented guys. So if Matt Ryan does come in here, he better get a longtime talent evaluator who knows how all of the ins and outs. Like, he's never even like done a, you know, an internship or anything like that. So he better get somebody who knows what they're doing that can kind of help him along the way. Otherwise, he's going in there, and there's going to be a lot of mistakes made just because you're learning for the first time. So I'm not saying that he doesn't have a vision. I'm not saying that he doesn't know talent. Obviously, he's been in locker rooms all his life, and he knows the dynamics of team and how it's supposed to fit together. But there's just a lot about being a general manager that you don't realize. And so if they do go that way, he better have a really top-level lieutenant to help him along the way.
Mike Jones, always good stuff, brother. Appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good one.
Yes, you too. Thanks to Mike Jones. That is national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Find him on Twitter at @ByMikeJones. Now, Thursday, you can join Dukes and Bell for a special broadcast live from the opening day of the Atlanta Boat Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. They'll be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 as the largest and longest running boat show in the region gets underway. That's Dukes and Bell live from the Atlanta Boat Show Thursday, 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we've got one last look at the NFL vacancies and who might be right for the Falcons. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. 8:42 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Now, the Falcons are going to talk to Clint Kubiak, Anthony Weaver, and Kevin Stefanski about the head coaching job. I'm curious, though, 8 years without the playoffs, right? How much time?
Hold on. Yes, 8 years.
How much time does the new guy get?
That's a phenomenal question.
Which new guy?
New head coach. How much time does he get? Because we're already saying next season's going to be resetting. And then if he or she doesn't get to the next year.
I've never had to have that indicator, but sure.
If they don't get to the playoffs the next year, is it the same story?
No, that's the problem. We've got to stop this. That is, to me.
Just ask him, Bo. You didn't have to yell at him.
I'm not yelling at her.
It seems like you are.
It definitely sounded like
you. I'm not yelling at her. I'm yelling at the sentiment. You've got to stop turning everything over. To me, that's why you got rid of the GM at the same time. That's why you restructured, so to speak, things around and put Rich officially over everything at AMBSE, but from what you kind of hear, he's been removed to a great extent for years from the Falcons. It's not like he's sitting there to the role that Matt Ryan or whoever they hire to step in there is going to be. You got to, like, give this some time. You don't know. We've said on this show and others have said that the quarterback position is still up in the air. So how can you have playoff aspirations with not 100% knowing what your quarterback spot's going to be? But you got to give these guys time to kind of get things. If you're going to fire a coach every year, no one's going to take this thing. And you got to have some guarantees.
I'm going to go about answering your question a different way, because I think Bo did a good job answering what should they do, and I think that's definitely what should happen. But I think your question was more along the lines of what will happen, and I think we all know those are two different things when it comes to the way this franchise is run or should be run. And I think there is still a lot left to be decided about that. One of the conversations I brought up yesterday, after the news broke, and also yesterday during the show, is how far tearing this down are we going to go? All right, we already went GM, well, president, if you want to go that far, like he just talked about, and GM and head coach, does it start going into players that are under contract? Like, that's the next question. Like, how far down to the studs is this thing going to go before you hit the reset button? And I think that when all those questions are answered, then I think you establish the timeline moving on from there, because I think there's probably a conversation when Aaron Glenn's taking over from the New York Jets. Oh, man, you should probably, you have this window. And then as you get into the season, it's like very clear that that window is not open. And you had your bridge quarterback, and that didn't work out. So all of a sudden, you're trading Sauce Gardner, and you're trading Quinnen Williams, and you're doing all these different things. And that next year, I feel like, is when Aaron Glenn will start being judged on a timeline of how soon things do get better. So,
well,
I there's so much left to be decided to me to be able to answer that. Is the new coach coming in? If Clint Kubiak was hired tomorrow, is he coming in going, it's going to take a minute? Or is he coming in looking at it and sitting with Matt Ryan or Arthur Blank or Josh Blank or whoever else and going, you know what? I think we can get this done. Well, like, I think we made this happen.
And I think you got to look at the division, too. Mike talked earlier about how, look, the Panthers have a lot of problems still. And they might have won the division, but they won at 8-9. The Bucks, if they keep Todd Bowles, it'll be win or else season for them. So that with those seasons tend to normally implode. The Saints, we can, you know, I think Tyler Shuck could be a really good player, but he's only played 9 games. And the league does adapt and adjust. We saw the league adjust to Michael Penix this year. Did we not?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's a winnable, you think it's a winnable division, but if I was told when I came in here, Allie, that, hey, our message outside the building is going to be we're going to, like they did with Arthur Smith and Terry when they first came in here, is we're going to compete while retooling, I would be like, nope, I'm either tearing it down or I'm not taking the job.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what your message is, because you're telling me right there, you're telling me rebuild. If you told me it's win or else next year, I'd be like, okay, go get somebody else then, because I'm not doing it. I'm not coming in here to essentially work with someone else's roster for the most part, and be told I've got to win next year or else. And I think that's a horrible way to reset your franchise, because I would tell you that that's why it's very important to hire the president first and foremost, which I do believe they will, and then get in here with a GM and a head coach who probably have very similar practices and the ways they want to go about it. Do I think – that's not to say I don't think you can win with this roster next year. I am just a firm believer in, if you're going to do all the things that you just did by restructuring the top and getting rid of the GM and bringing and firing the head coach, you can't go in there with Super Bowl or bust, because when you bust, with most likely you're going to bust, it's higher likely to bust than not, you're done. And now everyone is against you. And that's part of what screwed over Raheem, was the fact that their whole mindset was, everybody was, you know, it's like, well, we're firing Arthur because we can win right now.
People are
usually, go get a quarterback.
People are usually done when they bust, Bo. You're right.
I tried so hard to hold it together.
Man, that's dirty. Why
I tried
are you
so
dirty
hard to
there?
Hold it together, and I looked through the grass and Dylan's looking at me over that computer. I could not hold it together, man. Don't do that anymore, man.
Dirty ass mind
oh,
over there, Dylan.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
You
that
need
was
to,
funny.
Bro, don't even try to.
You need to get yourself together.
Don't even try to pull it like that. Bro, you know how much emphasis you put on that word multiple times?
Like 5 times.
You put so much emphasis on the word bus, and you said it so many times.
I said it again.
It's not normally the word I would use, but I mean, I was trying to clean it up for radio.
You also notice that he's used two words, the same word twice today that I put. Just a simple word, hole, after, and he thought that I lost my mind like 3 weeks ago, and yet
what?
He has said it twice.
What
today.
Are you talking about?
Oh, anyways, man. No, I
don't know what you're talking about.
I'm with you.
2 weeks is a long time ago. Lots happened.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
We've traded. We're in the process of trading a superstar. We've cleaned house in an organization.
Santa came to town.
I mean,
the whole thing.
Santa,
got
we've turned
year.
A new year.
Yeah.
New year, new me.
But you see, the point is, you can't.
Really.
Yeah.
You can't put these high, these. I understand we want to win. It's been 8 years, but you just can't go into a mindset of resetting a franchise, because essentially you're resetting the structural organization of a franchise. While you might not do it with a team, you are that. So to go in there and say, well, if we're willing to do this again next year if we don't win.
I just think a new standard has been set, because the fans' memory is different than remembering all the messaging someone comes in with. 2 years, 2 seasons now is what just occurred.
Well, and all right, let's rewind, and I think Bo will appreciate me putting it this way and bringing in a couple of names from Twitter on this. There was a back and forth between Steak and D-Led on Twitter yesterday, and they were arguing over how attractive this job is. Mm-hmm. And D-Led, being D-Led, you know, was saying this is not an attractive job at all. There's so much more losing in the near future. And our buddy Steak, who will be on here in just about 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
fired back and was like, there's so much to like about this job. Yeah. And I think those are conversations that you're going to have with all the people you hire, you know, in the coming days. How good is the roster? And if you, let's just say you bring Matt Ryan in and he's introduced at some point as the president of football operation, he's going to have to make a decision how good the roster is. He's going to have to make a decision how fast the turnaround is. But you have to point to all the things. Bo started this whole conversation with saying the quarterback situation is, I don't remember the word you used, it's in flux.
It's in question.
Yeah, it's in flux. Right.
Question is a bigger, because it's not, yes, it's a question mark.
Yes, it's definitely a question mark. And I think all that has to be situated before any kind of timeline can possibly be established. If this was another job and you had a quarterback that you felt like was a franchise guy and, you know, hey, you haven't been able to get it done with it, then that's ramped up. Then you cannot allow that record to get any worse than 8-9 in year one. But that's not what we're dealing with here.
The other thing I would tell you is as soon as you start firing people, now you start the count. Well, this is this GM's second coach. This is this team president's second coach. I mean, you know what? We sure as hell didn't have a problem doing it with coaches. Well, it's his second coordinator. No, it might be his third coordinator. And I think you mentioned that, well, Raheem got after 2 years. Yeah, he did, because you fired Arthur Smith because going into year, they did the retooling comment in year one. They stuck with that in year two when everyone knew that I have more money in my bank account than the Falcons did to spend on players, and that's not a lot at all. And then year three, you went and you just talked ad nauseum before and during training camp. Man, we got so much talent on this roster, so much talent, so much talent. And then when you get blown out by Justin Fields and the Bears and Jameis Winston and the Saints, poof, now you're gone. And then you come in here and you're like, we're going to spend $100-something million on a quarterback, and we're gonna win right away. And you start out, and then 6-3, and the next thing you know, you miss the playoffs. And you go out, start out, 4-2, and you miss the play, or 3-2, and you miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, so that kind of stuff got you. You got to say, we got to give these guys time. Also, if you just fire people every couple of years, you are the Jets, you are the Browns, you are insert whatever crappy ass team you want to mention in this league, you're them. Because now you're not 8. You're not 9, you're not 10, you're not 11, but you're going to be 12, 13, 14 years down the road without a playoff appearance.
Yeah, Cardinals, Raiders, those kind of teams.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to be careful, and you got to give guys time. And that's one thing, we've talked about Trey a lot all day. I got to give the Hawks credit, whether you guys won't think they give them enough or not or whatever. They've given this time with Trey. They have done it. They gave it more time than the Mavericks. Maybe only a year and a half longer, but it was still more. And it feels like you're still in the same spot. So at least they've given it time.
Did everything you could do, surrounded them with all the support necessary and everything that you could possibly need.
And give Trey credit too, because Trey stuck with it and was like, I want to give the organization time. And I'm not saying you didn't.
Earlier, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying you didn't, but when you mentioned it's been amicable, it's because I think everybody feels like they've exhausted all options.
Well, it will be interesting to hear from Arthur Blank on Thursday. He will be speaking at 11 o'clock, and we will be airing it on 92.9 The Game. So we'll get you all up to date on that. If you have ideas on who you would like to see as the head coach, continue the conversation with us. Yes, we're going away right now, but you can still talk to us at 929 Morning Shift. That is going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
make sure you're ready when you bust.
Bye. Don't.